Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you from live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio, and also being simulcast on Shake and Radio, ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. Thanks for joining in, and we are viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what we're doing, please hit the donate buttons. I know the people involved would much appreciate the help as we're trying to get the word out. You know, I've been on the internet now doing radio for about, I think, almost 7 years. It's coming up 7 years now. And one of the people that I met early in my travels through the internet world was Patty Walking Turtle. And over the years, I've had too many conversations with Patty to even count. And you know what? Rick Simpson was supposed to join me today, folks, but Rick is having some problems due to complications with his stroke. So I ask you all to give a little prayer for Rick and hope that he has a recovery from whatever it is that's ailing him. I did talk to his wife this morning, and I can't divulge a lot of things, and a few things were kept back, but it's not good, guys, so please give a big prayer out to Rick today. On short term, first person I could think of was Miss Patty Walking Turtle, and I can't say enough about Patty. She's been a real friend, and we've had great conversations over the years, and I really look forward to this conversation today. How you doing, Patty, and welcome.
Well, I'm doing really good, and I want to say, yeah, my prayers are going out for Rick. He's such a wonderful person, what he's done for the people. And I want to give a shout-out to, hey, Annie, I love you, and I'm so glad that you're back at it, and glad to be here, Barry. We have gone back years and years, and we've had a lot of really good conversations. We don't always agree. But we always have a good conversation. It's awesome.
Okay, somebody's telling me my volume sounds a little bit low. I can try and bring it up, guys. I don't think we've ever scripted a show when we've got on the air together, so that's not necessary.
It wouldn't work anyway, would it?
It wouldn't work anyways, and you know what? You're right, Patty. Two people will never agree on all issues, but the fact is that we both see things eye to eye on so many critical issues that are affecting our planet and our health and our lives and our future right now that I absolutely encourage other opinions from people. I love to hear people's opinions. I'm not always going to agree, but it's really important that opinions are heard because there's a large variety of people listening to shows, and you know, everybody has different ideas and different conceptions of how things work, and to get different opinions out there, I think, is really critical.
Yeah, and it's not that the things that we differ on are really key to what we're trying to do, and that's bring knowledge and truth out there, you know.
Well, absolutely. Our differences are just trivial compared to what we agree on, Patty.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, I went to bed last night thinking, well, the world can't get any crazier than it is right now. And I woke up this morning and went on the internet and found out that I was wrong, that things are just getting nuts out there. And I don't want to get into American politics this hour because I'm going to discuss that the next hour with Roger Landry. But what we're seeing going on in Canada, what we're seeing going on in the United States and France and Germany right now, the coalitions of people that are rising to the nationalist banner, we see this movement growing exponentially worldwide right now. And I guess I always keep asking myself, is it too late? Are we going to be able to stem the tide? Are people really going to wake up to what's going on and we rise in unison against it? Question I ask myself every day, Patty.
Well, I don't think that's a question that we should ask because we can't afford to ask that question. We have we are looking at some very, very serious issues that are facing all of us globally. And this isn't anything new. The people who are listening to your broadcast and the people who listen to mine, they're well aware of the problems that we face globally. And we see this being played out, this agenda being played out over and over and over. Just name a country, name a leader, and they're all staying and doing the same things. They're using different cultures or whatever, different religions, but it's all building to the same thing. So we cannot afford to be at a place where we say we can't do anything because it's up to us, and we have an imperative. We care. We want a better world for everybody. And in order to bring that better world, we have to have the knowledge to make the right choices so that we can get to that place that we want to be. We can't give up, and you know we never will. And it's just, it's easy to be inundated today. There is so much going on. We're being attacked in a thousand different ways. And like you said, I gave up saying it can't get any crazier a while ago, because every time I said that, it got worse. So I said, well, maybe I need to be quiet, you know. But there's plenty we can do, and we are doing it, and plenty of people are stepping up, and there is change being made. We just have to realize that none of this is going to be easy. It's not going to dissipate because we stand up and we bring the truth with us, or we bring the solutions with us. It's not going to just go away. We have to re-educate. We have to, there was, Luca Mano used to do a show, and it was called Learn to Unlearn. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now. We've all been living under this illusion for a very, very, very long time. We've been indoctrinated. Even those of us who are aware are still, in a way, attached through this indoctrination. And it's hard to break. But the only thing that we have on our side that works is truth and compassion, and an understanding that we are the people to make that change, that we are the ones who make the difference. We can't wait for that knight in shining armor to finally show up and say, hey, I'm here, because he's not coming. You know, him and Superman and all the other superheroes, they're elsewhere. They're preoccupied. They're not coming here. This is our mess. This is what we've got to deal with, and that's what we do. No fear. Where'd you go, Baron? He lost his mic again.
Yes, he did.
But anyway, we're in a position. Okay, there you are. Good.
What's going on here, guys? I really don't. I think I must have a bad connection in my headset, but it seems to be going in out of me, so I'll try not to move it around too much. But yeah, Luca, I've listened to Luca, and I've had him on my shows before, Patty, and he really does make some good points on how to deprogram yourself from the program that we've all been exposed to since we were children. We've been programmed all our lives to believe this is how things work, and it is a pile of lies. Everything that's ever been told to us is a lie. Period.
Well, the one thing good we've got going for us, The one thing good we've got going for us is they're not hiding it anymore. We don't have to really dig to find the truth anymore. It's in our face. They're not being bashful at all with showing us what the agenda is and which way the narrative is going, you know?
Yep. I think we can safely take off our tinfoil hats now, Patty. That we're no longer, a lot of people aren't looking at us as wackadoodles anymore, as Barbara would say, that things that you and me talked about 7 years ago, when we first started having these conversations, were exactly what's happening today, and now we're seeing it play out in front of our faces. We all knew this was coming, Patty. We've all been aware of this for years, that there's going to be catastrophic changes come, and how society's going to handle it is kind of like the monumental question, I guess, is how is society going to handle the chaos when it erupts? Lots of people, we had this conversation many times, that, you know, lots of people aren't going to get it, that they will continue to live in the matrix right up to the last minute till somebody comes possibly knocking on their door and their life will turn upside down. But luckily there is like thousands of us now that are starting to stand up and trying to make a change. And you and Barb, I love getting in with you guys, because you really are hitting it on the nail on the way, on your perspective of what is going on.
Yeah, we gauge our shows by how many we lose in the chat.
Or how many trolls attack the show. That's always a good indicator.
Yeah, we usually start our shows by saying this is going to be a rough one, because we don't pull punches and we don't care about feelings. It's too late for that. If we're going to get emotional about what's going on out there, then we've already lost the footing that we need. We need to come at this in a realistic, logical manner. What is the problem? What is the issue? That's what we need to focus on, not the emotional static that is out there that keeps us from getting to those solutions that we already have. We know what to do.
Emotion is part of it, of course, Patty, but it can't influence our thoughts and our decisions and our conversations with other people. What we see going on in the world right now, if it doesn't affect you emotionally, then your heart's not beating. But to have that influence conversations and put divisions between people is something that we have to stop. That we, you know, I get affected big time. I mean, there's times I start talking about stuff on the radio and I can't hold back the tears because it just tears your heart apart. But being able to keep
But you're not using your emotions as a weapon. You're not putting those emotions in front of you as a bulwark against the truth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at here, is that emotion is very important. Boy, if your heart's not broken when you see what's going on in our world right now, I don't know what to say, but we need solutions, and we have them. I mean, you guys that aren't listening into Shiz's show on Sunday mornings or his Mad Sciences show on Saturday afternoon, I think you're really depriving yourself of a lot of good information, because he's just one of many people out there that have solutions to the problems, and yet we seem to be ignoring it, that we still seem to want to stay inside this paradigm. I'm not talking about you or me, Patty, but I'm talking about the general population of the planet. A lot of them are still totally asleep, and whether it's by choice or they just don't care, that's a question I can't answer.
Well, they've been taught to be dependent on the authorities, because the authorities are the ones that make the world go. The authorities keep us safe. The authorities make sure that we have what we need. That's what we've been taught. That's what we've been programmed to believe. And so there are many people that, especially the new generations and the older generations, see what's going on, and they will talk to you and they will tell you that things are going really bad, but they don't want to shake up the boat because they're dependent on this system. The systems that have been built to support them. It's no coincidence that we find the state has grown so big and so monstrous to be in every aspect of our lives. That's on purpose. And so you have these people, masses of people who are living day to day, and they know that job is the only thing that's keeping that roof over their head. They're ill because we live in a system that produces ill health and dis-ease rather than health. So we have ill people at a younger age. We have people who struggle from payday to payday. Sometimes 2-3 jobs is not enough. And they don't have time to worry about what happens if all of this falls apart, because at least they're getting that paycheck and at least the doctor's still giving them that prescription. And so we have to find a way to show them that they can benefit outside of these systems, that with change, things do get better. But how do you convince people of that, Barry?
Yeah, that's a hard one, Patty. It really is. You know, 50% of Canadian families now are, according to two studies, and they're both very, very reputable organizations that did the study, that 50% of Canadians now are $200 away from insolvency. 50% of us are $200 away from going broke every time we get paid. So you get paid, you pay your bills, you pay this, you pay that, you pay your taxes, you pay your rent, you pay your electrical, you pay all the stuff, you pay whatever else you have to pay, and you're $200 away from your next paycheck. And 50% of Canadians now live like that. A lot of Canadians live below that standard. That what these corporations, what just happened in Ottawa, was the Canadian government giving Loblaws, $12 million of our money. The owner of Loblaws, Mr. Winston, is worth $8.7 billion, I believe it is, that the company made in one quarter last year, $328 million in profits, and our government turns around and gives them $12 million to buy new fridges so that they're helping the environment. I mean, all of Canada is going, what the hell is going on? They're shooting themselves in the foot, but that's what we expect from these people, Patty. I don't know if you're aware of that story or not, but that's just one example of the ludicrous actions of our government in Canada right now. The good thing is Canadians are waking up in droves, and we are trying to do something about it.
Yeah, I hear that Trudeau is losing his base.
I'm even losing read his a thing. Base.
Well, I read a thing that said that he's even, they're talking about a vote of no confidence. Is that real?
Yeah, there's, you're going to see here in the next week or 10 days, some pretty crazy stuff happened, I believe, in Canadian politics, and I say the same thing about American politics, that there's lists of indictments out there, and I'm going to really let Roger elaborate on this in the next hour, because he's going to bring some information forward, but the gist of it is that these indictments that are sealed right now, the 60 that haven't been opened, 8 have been sent to the DOJ for referral. It means they're going to go forward with criminal charges, and the names on these indictments are big names, names that we all know, and I believe, honestly, in the 60 that are unsealed, you might find Mr. Justin Trudeau's name in there. And if that happens, then everything gets turned upside down. And if that does go down, Patty, that's going to be an interesting scenario, isn't it? We've talked about that many times. What would actually happen if the deep state is all of a sudden taken down? Boy, are we going to see chaos in society like we've never seen before, I think, in our lifetime. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and you know how they do things incrementally over time. Nothing is ever planned the day before with the authorities, the control. So they've been planning this for a very, very long time. They've set the stage in incremental parts to bring us to this point. They didn't dream this up overnight. All of this is pre-managed, pre-manufactured, and here we are. And we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming. And still, we sit here and we're watching this happen. And we know, you know, like I tell people all the time, I'm not either side of this political bent. I'm as I've always been. No government for me is for the people. Never has been, never will. It's just the way that I see things. It's a control. But when we're here and we're watching these things going on, I tell people, you know, yes, they're going to bring down the deep state. I know it because I've kept up with this, and I know what's out there, and I know what they're getting ready to do. And yes, they're going to bring down the deep states. They're going to bring down the governments. And what will be the answer when this happens and there's chaos in the streets and they have to start policing the streets and everything, because the people are, you're going to lose so many people in Congress, so many people in the administration of our governments, that they're going to have to be, there's going to be a void. And so at that time, governments will have one option only, and that's to secure the security of those governments. How do they do that? With the military and with national police. You know, this is the way this happens. So we see these moves coming on. They've been building up the infrastructure of the military and the police within all of these countries. They're passing. Yes, they're talking about martial law openly in the UK and here, you know.
Yes, they are. They're getting us ready for it, Patty.
Yeah.
And boy, when that happens, folks, things are going to change overnight. Because you know and I know, Patty, when martial law is implemented, all your constitutional rights are out the window. You have absolutely no right, that you're in complete control of the entities behind the curtains. And who's to say what's going to happen when that happens? You know, to say that governments don't turn on their people on the flip of a switch, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand. So what we're seeing right now, I believe, is just a giant ploy being played out on the people. And it's not just in Canada or the United States, it's worldwide. Because to make it work, you'd have to implement it worldwide. And we're in interesting times right now, Patty. We really are. It's I think things are going to get a little crazy. This ain't going to be stopped. I mean, there's just too much out there now to stop it. So it's, what is really the objective of all this is my big question.
Yeah, well, I look at it too. You know, what else, if the world was truly the oasis that we want it to be, you know, if it was truly our Eden, then we'd be sitting down fishing or we'd be walking through the country, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But it's not. We're not there. So what can we do? Hey, let's stand up and have a voice. Hey, let's stir the pot. Let's make sure that they don't make it easy, you know, that they don't have an easy job of it. Hey, I'm all for it. Let's go. Just say it.
Well, you know, and I know, Patty, once your eyes are opened, you can't close them. You just can't. Not if you have a heart. And boy, I'll tell you, when I woke up 8 or 9 years ago, it was like the biggest shock of my life. Because honestly, up to that point, I was kind of naive to all of this stuff. I really was, being honest. All of a sudden, I woke up and wow, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, man. And boy, I'll tell you, once you get to that point in your life, folks, you don't turn your back on it because we realize what's coming. And we don't want that for any of our loved ones or any human being, period. Because I love all humans the same way. We all bleed the same blood. And boy, I'll tell you, we're in for the fight of our life, Patty. We are, right now.
You know, the greatest thing, though, is that I have the greatest faith in those who will stand up and what they will be able to accomplish. And I know that as long as those like us are still willing to stand up against all the flack, against all the rhetoric that's being thrown out there, against all the corruption, as long as we're willing to stand, then they will never have peace and they will never have the system that they want. And you're always going to have people that are going to follow. They're going to follow. It's just the way it is. We are so different as far as our own minds and our own thoughts and ideologies. There's no way that we can ever build 100% consensus. But if we can build a big enough consensus to produce a different way, a model way that can show people that they can be empowered, that they can step away, that they can make a life of benefit for themselves outside of the system, then we do a great work and we allow people to gain knowledge and to do a great work. So the more people we reach, the more people that hear, the more people that take a stand, you know, the better off we are. And I have full faith that if we ever got that 100th monkey, that we could indeed find our way to a utopia. I truly believe that because nobody wants to suffer and nobody wants to go without food and no one wants to be homeless and no one wants to be ill. No one wants to be dumbed down. No one wants to be experimented on. No one wants to be in shackles. But until we provide an avenue, until we can provide a understandable way of stepping out, then we can't expect everybody to jump on ship, you know? And that's the hardest thing that I see that we're up against, not the system. The system is going to fall as soon as we decide we don't need it anymore. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Once we, in large enough numbers, what France is doing, what they're doing in Europe right now, and the yellow vests that are moving towards you, they're working on the assumption that your system is killing us. Ergo, we're not going to deal with it anymore. And if we have to go out to the streets and leave our own security in order to make change, we're going to do it. Well, that's where we have to be. And that's where we have to get the people, you know?
Yeah, France and Germany just formed an alliance to stand against this. And you're seeing the people rise all over the world right now. We see nationalist governments coming in all over the place and nationalist leaders gaining popularity every day. We are in a struggle, and it's worldwide. I hope that we can get our poop together in the very, very near future, Patty, because, you know, we talk about, you know, political problems and the guys behind the curtain and everything bad that's going on in our society. But to me, my focus now seems to be going more and more towards informing people about environmental problems that we're really starting to see come up on the planet. We as a human race really, really have to get our poop together in a very, very short period of time, Patty. I'm not saying we can't, but I honestly believe if we don't, then we are really, really in a lot of trouble. And I don't ever want to come across when I talk as a fearmonger, but it's thoughts that go through my head all the time. I see what we're doing to the planet. I see what's happening to our health. I see what's happening to our food and our water and our air. There is nothing going on in our world right now that is beneficial to the human body. And if you look at what's driving all these things that are destroying us, they're all coming from the same source, but in different directions. So, you know, getting educated on solutions, folks, is really kind of important. at this point, and maybe getting prepared for possible chaos. Get to know your neighbors, man. Most people don't know their neighbors. I got some like-minded people now in Terrace that we're talking, Patty, and it's good to know that, you know, if things really do go south, that you have a few people in your community that think like you and want to stand with you. And that might sound crazy, but that's where we're at right now.
Well, yeah, and things are going south. I mean, we don't have to wait for that to happen.
I don't want to emphasize that too much, Patty, but things are going absolutely ape poop right now.
Right, right. I mean, you can't deny that. I mean, it's in your face. But that doesn't mean that we can't change the tide. And if we can provide benefit for our families, then we've done something. If we can provide benefit for a community, then we've done something. And maybe that community can show another community. You know, and we've seen this happen. It's just been slow to pick up because people are so bent and caught up on this political infighting and this circus that's out there. And our minds are so preoccupied with what they're doing that we're no longer stepping up and saying, hey, let's do this, you know, like you were talking about. You know, we have to, there's a lot of people, and I don't want to say we have to, because that's more or less like saying, you better do it. You know, I don't mean that. But if we could, in our own communities, on our own streets, start coming together, don't ask them who'd you vote for? I don't care who you voted for. What religion, I don't care what religion you are. What I care about is if we can benefit each other, if we can come together and figure out solutions for just our little street here. I know that you're in need. You need some things done and you don't have the wherewithal. Well, hey, guess what? I do, but I need this. Can we work together? You know, people are more open when you come to them and you say, let's talk about some solutions. I know you have issues. I have issues. I think that we can work together. You know, and that's how we have to build this. We can't just run out to the podium and get up there and yell, this government is this and that government is that. We're not providing solutions. We need to provide the solutions. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many things that really have gotten to this point right now, Patty, how our society has been conditioned to be greed driven, that it's very, very important to have a new car and a new TV and new clothes, and you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to keep up with the Jones. But really, when you look at it down the road a couple of years from now, that it's all frivolous. It means nothing. What really means a lot to me right now is trying to get people aware of the damage that we're doing to this planet and how we can change it. And boy, do we have the answers, man, if we could just get people to embrace it. But I see people that are still just stuck in the paradigm that they just don't seem to care. Well, you got to ask yourself, why has that happened to our society? Why have we become a society that doesn't care, as opposed to a society years and years and years ago that actually did care, that our neighbors actually did care about each other, and your friends cared about you, and they actually concerned about what's going on in your life? None of that exists in our world anymore. You have teenagers that don't know how to communicate with each other because they live in cyber worlds. Everybody says, look at the phones. Everybody's walking around with phones. To me, that's one of the biggest scourges that's come into our society. And I say that, and I have one myself, but I don't use it the way I see it being used by people, man. It's like you can go to a coffee shop and there can be three people sitting at a table and they're talking to each other over the phone. And they're sitting across from each other. And I'm going, like, what's happened here? Well, all of this stuff that we see, Patty's, like you said, it's been talked about in think tanks and discussed over years and years and years to bring all these things together to put us to where we find ourselves right now, like we're in chaos. And it's only going to get better.
There are no coincidences.
No,
there
it's
are
all
none.
It's all by design, Patty. You know that, and I know that. And you try to tell people that sometimes, and they think you're a nutcase. But it's so true when you look at everything that's going on. All the attacks on our health, the attacks on our food, the implementation of GMO foods, the ramp up in vaccines, the rise in autism. You know, Roger Landry's said it many times, and I vetted that statement when he made it to me the first time, that, you know, Canada and the United States are the sickest nations in the world right now. Well, why is that? Because there's a new drug out there every week, boy, and it'll clear your skin up, but... you might die. but you'll die with clear skin, Patty. Isn't that great?
That's wonderful. That is just so wonderful.
I want to look good. I want to look good in my coffin, man. I'll tell you, it'd be terrible being there with a blister on your face.
Well, and they push these things like, okay, let's go with GMOs and the rash of backlash. And now they're being sued and everything. And Bayer buys up Monsanto. And people were all about, hey, what's a pharmaceutical company doing buying an agricultural company? That might be bad for us. And then it was forgotten, right? Okay. And so I started talking about this. And they were saying, well, at least it'll put Monsanto out of business and there won't be any more GMOs. Wait a minute. Let's back this up. Okay. So Bayer bought Monsanto. Right? Okay. So Bayer has also gotten the patent on the CRISPR technology. It means they don't have to deal with seeds anymore. They can create their own. And it's worse than any GMO ever was. So do you still feel really good about that? You know?
same Bayer that was owned by great-great-granddaddy Bush and the one that founded both sides of the war in the Second World War and the First World War, that corporation? Are we talking about the same ones?
Yeah, they're going to bring you lollipops, and they're going to taste really good, and you're going to like them, you know, because it's not going to be GMOs. It's like
– why has most of Europe banned GMOs, Patty? Why? The only place they're still being really pushed is in North America.
Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Of Europe has banned them.
I'm going to tell you why, Barry.
I know why, you know why, but go ahead. You tell the audience. You go ahead.
Because it was all a setup to begin with. They got the farmers in debt. They had to sign these contracts. They got farmland from the farmers who lost in court by millions of dollars, and they had to sell their land to the corporations. So the corporations got bigger, and Monsanto ran out their luck on the GMOs and saw that they were losing. So they adopted this CRISPR technology with Bayer, and now they're ready to move on. It's all been an incremental step. Here's where we are. And where's the next step going to take us? Oh, can you think? Maybe from here on out, they'll develop pills like vitamins that will have – you won't have to worry about what you eat anymore. You can go to McDonald's. You can go and you get all the MSG you want and everything, because now they're going to have a little pill that has all your nutritional benefits in there, because CRISPR technology and Bayer were able to create it for you. So don't you feel healthier now?
I'm. You've put my mind at ease, Patty. I mean, it's just I was worried about that, and I'm glad you brought that information forward to our audience. What a joke! And then we look at Nestle trying to control world water situations and how big they're getting, and their tentacles are everywhere. We see them trying to control our food and our water, our air. Soon they're going to tax us to breathe, or maybe they'll start taxing our farts. Who knows? I mean, we are definitely killing the planet, aren't we, Patty?
Well, Ocasio-Cortez is already gone after the cows for farting, so we'll be next, you know. And cows are the only ones that, I guess, of farm animals that fart. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, I worked on a farm, and I was actually exposed to close proximity to cow farts in my career on the farm, but we'll leave that for another day. I actually got to swim in a pile of manure once, Patty. That was a life-changing experience. 30 feet up in the air, nosedive into a pile of manure, if you can believe that. That was a life-changing experience. I was up on the bale that we had in the old days in the farms. We had a trough system that went behind the stalls, and it took the poop out and dropped it, went up an elevator and dropped it in a pile behind the barn. And of course, we picked it up with the scoops and put it in the fertilizer spreader and spread it all over the place. But one of those cogs got caught, and Earl, the farmer, said, "Barry, climb up there and take a screwdriver and chisel it free." So, of course, I did. And, boy, the rest is history. Nosedive from about 25 feet up. But it didn't hurt because it was nice and soft. But I ran to the house. I ran to the house. The farmer's wife came out with a hose. Anyways, I don't know where I talked about that, but it was a funny experience. That's the one time in my life I got to eat poop. Excuse me. Those are good days.
I don't have anything to come back on that, Barry.
You know what? I do try. It's not a very good effort, but I do try and inject a little humor into our shows once in a while, Patty, because we don't laugh at this stuff right now a little bit. We are going to go insane. It's like I said to you off air there, man. There's so many things going on right now that I find myself just trying to concentrate on certain issues, because if we look at everything, our minds are just scrambled. There's just so much going on. So I try and...
I just take the blanket approach. It's all screwed.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Yeah, it is, but we got to make ourselves aware of it. We got to be able to talk about and explain any kind of common sense or rationale on some of the things we see going on, and there is none. And I like to point that out to people. And I do spend a lot of my time looking at what's going on with radiation around the world. It's one of my biggest concerns. Not that we can do anything about it at this point, but just making people aware of how bad it's getting and how much radiation we're actually being exposed to, how it's affecting our DNA, how nano-sized particles and nuclear isotopes are invading our body, and we don't even know it. It's a real travesty that nuclear power was unleashed on the planet, Patty. I don't know if if the planet can live past it. I honestly ask myself that a question a lot of times. And I say that because I see what's going on now with nuclear power, and what I think we're only, 70, maybe 80 years into the proliferation of nuclear power, and we see all these problems coming up, and they're just getting worse and worse and worse all the time, and they're only going to get better. And I go, wow, if I could say anything to the human race, if I was made ruler of the world for a week, I would outlaw nuclear power. I don't care if you have to sit in the dark for a week. We'll build you some solar panels, and we'll figure something out for you, but we're getting rid of this stuff, and that would be my first mandate. Because if we don't, I don't see the human race living for a whole lot of time, Patty. I don't say that being negative. I say it realistically. I say it based on what I see going on right now. It's just craziness, man. Crazy. So, anyways, I hope we can wake up to that problem, Patty, because going down the road 20 years from now, honestly, seeing what I see right now, and I know there's a lot of bull crap out there on the internet. Some of the reports that I've chased down, I have found them to be not vettable, but a lot I have chased down, I find them to have great credence, and boy, that scares me. I look at what we're doing and why we're doing this, why we are allowing this to go on, and why we aren't all trying to put a stop to it. Big question I ask every day, and I don't see us living through it, Patty. I honestly don't. I want to be optimistic about our future, but unless we do something about that particular issue in the next 10 years, I think we really are going to be shooting ourselves in the foot. But just my thoughts on that. It's something I talk about a lot. It just drives me nuts. It drives me nuts.
What would be your preferable way you could die from nuclear radiation from a nuclear plant? You could die from our symptom relief health industry on a slow death. You could die from cancer from the toxins put in our food and everything. Or now they have much better weapons. They have 5G. They have different microwave energies. They have every ability to take you out. So you can stand there and say, okay, this is the culprit, but you only got a fraction of the problem, because once I have no doubt that sooner or later, when they're ready to roll out the next phase, that the nuclear problem will go away, that they'll find some reason to say, oh, well, we're going to dismantle, we're going to tear down. I truly think that they will get to that point, because they have worse things that would not harm their infrastructure or any of the buildings, the country or whatever, won't toxify it, but they can kill all of us, or they can make us little zombies, or they can make us so decrepit and debilitated that all we can do is sit in our houses and hope that we can get a check in the mail.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is where they're going. And
go ahead.
And we only have a short window of opportunity. And this window of opportunity is open right now. And it will be open even when they bring down these governments and try to move us toward this globalized system that's already pre-set up. We still have that window of opportunity during that time. If we are ready and if we have prepped and if we have gone to our communities and we have strengthened those communities, then we have the ability during that time to make change that benefits us instead of them. We have a choice. We can either capitulate and say it's all too much, I give up, or we can do exactly what it is that we are able to do and to continue on that track no matter what. We can't look at it in a defeatist way. We can't look at it and say it's a done deal, because it's not done. I'm here. You're here. Everybody else is here. This is where we need to go.
I didn't say it was a done deal, Patty, but all I'm pointing out is that the path we're on right now, as far as that particular issue, is one of self-destruction, and it's inevitable. And yeah. I do hope, you know, the question I ask myself all the time, these elitists, these guys behind the curtain that want to get rid of us and bring the Earth population down to 500 million as spoken on the Georgia Guidestones, and their agenda to completely control the planet, why would they ever bring nuclear power to the planet if they knew or they were understanding the possibilities of complete meltdowns and situations that could destroy the one thing that they want to keep to themselves? I mean, nuclear power is something that is going to be such a problem that what's going to happen if we kill all life on the planet? What are they going to have to live on? Where is their mentality when they allow this stuff to go on, and knowing the possibility of one major thing right now that could literally end life on this planet, and that exists right now, unfortunately. One of the things, I read this, that there was one article that came to my attention is, and I talked about this, I think I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, Fukushima now is storing millions of bags of nuclear, highly radiated nuclear material on site. And if ever one of these piles caught fire, you would see trillions of becquerels released into the environment. You would see radiation levels like we've never seen before on the planet Earth. My question is, how much can the planet take before it completely dies? And where is it going? If we have this possibility on the Earth right now, where is the mentality of allowing it to continue if it has the possibility of eliminating all life? I really have a hard time understanding that. Unless they've got some secret super cure for nuclear isotopes that we don't know about, how can we escape suicide by nuclear? If you look at where they're built, Patty, all the fault lines are all sitting on nuclear power plants. We know that there's 89
and river and waterways.
And going to be subjected to tsunamis. It's going to happen. Geological events don't stop because we built a nuclear power plant. We're telling the Earth now, you cannot have that 8.2 magnitude earthquake again. It just can't happen because we've got a nuclear power plant here now. It's going to happen. And Fukushima is just a minor example, but a major example of what's going to happen to the human race. And I say this honestly, if we don't eliminate it, we have to. We have to universally eliminate nuclear power and figure out some way that we can remediate the nuclear waste. And Shaziz has answers for that. He's got all kinds of answers. The answers are there, but we got to implement them. Or I just don't, you know, I'm not being pessimistic. I want to be optimistic. I hope my kids get to enjoy the life that I've got to live on this world, man. I've been here 64 years now, Patty, and I've had a great life. And I've enjoyed the abundance this planet has provided. But I don't see it in the future if we keep going this way. So all I'm saying is that it's something I ask people to pay attention to look into it for themselves and see if I'm a crazy old nut saying this. But I don't see us escaping extinction if we don't eliminate it in the
Barry,
future. Just Barry, like I see it.
Barry,
go ahead, Steve.
You have a question in chat.
Okay. What was the question? Oh. Sir, I look at chat once in a while, but if I start looking at it, then I get distracted. And that's really easy for my brain.
Well, I just want to say
it was for Patty, actually. Patty, can you go into the chat at the question for Patty? Can you read that, Steve, to me, please? Hello, Steve.
Do you think synchronicity has brought us to a timeline that seems corporations running so rampant at the same time as conscious awareness is arising exponentially? There seems to be higher intelligence managing the timelines.
I agree 100%. I do. I think that we are coming up to the synchronicity. I think that this timeline that we are in, and there are many, many prophecies and writings that have brought us the information about this time. I don't think this is the only time. I think that this has happened before. I think that there is an awakening at the same time that we see all of this corruption and all of this stuff being brought to the surface. They don't call it the apocalypse for nothing. And the apocalypse, that word means the unveiling, the releasing of truth, where truth is rising. And I think that is what we are experiencing right now. I think that consciousness of the people is being affected also. We have things that are outside of our small little planet here that are in flux. And we're not the only sphere in the universe experiencing these changes. What we're getting are different energy flows and different frequencies. I truly think that we are in this time for a reason, that we are here right now in this time to bring this truth. We were brought here to do that.
Patty, he also...
That's my belief.
Patty, he also goes on to say that, i.e., as the corporation squeezes tighter, we now have the capacity to counter.
We do.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I agree with that 100%. And that's why I say, you know, no matter what it looks like out there, the fear that is being proposed to us that we should adopt, that we should take this fear and we should look at it and we should succumb to it, that's the big lie. Because we are not simply Earth beings. We are beyond that. We are energy, and depending on what your belief system is, energy and frequency are real. They are measurable. They have been measurable forever. And we see that, like the people talk about the miracle of prayer. When people come together in groups and they pray, things happen. And the doctor says, oh, it was a miracle. No, it was the frequency of that prayer and the energy that it brought that was healing and light. That's what we're doing right now. When we stand against the fear and we don't adopt it, we say, I will not fear you. We are putting out a certain frequency, and that frequency travels beyond us. So if we can look at this, if we can look at this experience that we're in right now, and we know that we're only here for a momentary existence, it's only a moment. This time that we've got that says that there's 24 hours in a day is minuscule compared to the infinity of who we truly are. So we're on this earth for a moment, and we have this moment to do what we came here to do. So we don't have time. I don't have time to take this fear on me and say, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have to look at it and say, yeah, you're doing your worst, but hey, you ain't met me yet. You know, and that's how we all have to stand up and look at this. We can't give in, say, well, it's all gone down the drain, so by gosh, I'm going to go find me a rock and I'm going to dig me a hole, you know, because that's not going to do anything. You're not going to be any better off. So stand up and make a noise, you know, stand up and stand in truth and don't let anybody shake you. And they're going to try. They're always going to try. But this is our time. This is why we're here.
Yeah, it's actually your duty, folks, to do this. It really is. It's your moral duty. It's your duty as a responsible human being to do what we're talking about doing, to actually try and make a difference. You know, we see all these things unfolding in front of us, and we're aware of it, and we know the implications for the future. And if we don't get involved, then really what are we is a legacy left on this planet. It really is our responsibility to try and leave this the same way we found it, and we haven't been able to do that. It's all we're all responsible. We're all to blame. But to say that we can't fix it, I'm not at that point. But I'm telling people that we need to really get our poop together, Patty, because we have monumental environmental issues happening on the planet that are going to cause great problems in the future. I believe we still have a window of opportunity to fix it, but we really do have to get our act together.
Well, I'd rather be a thorn in their side than a rose petal under their foot.
Hey. And one of the prophecies that rings true in my head all the time, Patty, is says in the Bible that all that is hidden will be exposed at this particular time in history. And boy, that seems to ring real true with me right now. With the information age, what we know now as opposed to what we knew 20, 25 years ago, it's monumental. And we have this instrument at our exposed, at our access right now that we can really, really make a difference. We know they're going to shut us down here real soon, Patty, that we're going to have to find alternative ways to talk with each other. That's coming in the very near future. So there's lots of things that everybody can get involved in and work on.
Yep. Don't be scared. Don't be scared.
Knowledge alleviates fear, Patty. It really does. When you really become aware, then the fear goes away, and a determination to make a difference is what replaces it. And that's what I think we need to experience. I really do. We need to really look at ourselves as what are we doing for the future of the planet? What kind of damage have we been indirectly and directly responsible for, and how we can make amends for that?
You know, one of my favorite lines from a movie that represents what we're dealing with today and how we have to approach it, it comes from that movie They Live, where he walks into the bank and he says, "I came here to chew bubblegum and kick butt, and I'm all out of bubblegum. You know, that's the type of outlook I have. You know, I'm not laying down. I'm not cowering under a rock. I'm going to be in your face. You know, I'm going to be that thorn in your side. And I'm good with that. You know, it's where I want to be. We lost him again, didn't we? He moved.
Yes, we did.
He'll be back.
Hello.
There he is.
There you are.
We're down to the wire, Patty. And, you know, the hour always goes quick when I'm having conversations with you. So I want to thank you for joining me on short notice today and having this conversation. It's always a pleasure having you on, my dear.
Love being here, Barry.
Okay, folks, I'm going to take a 3-minute break, and I'm going to be back with Mr. Roger Landry. And we're going to talk about some of the stuff going on in the United States of America. Stay tuned, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes. Well, welcome back to the second hour, guys, and thanks again for joining me, Patty, on short notice today, seeing Rick couldn't come in. Always enjoy talking with you. Second hour, I've got a gentleman that I guess I've known Roger for about 6 years now, I think minimum, and over the years has got a great deal of respect for the gentleman, and going to have a chat today about some of the things we see going on in the United States of America and the implications. How are you doing, Mr. Landry?
I'm doing real good, except that there are quite a few ladies out there, I mean, simply because of the positions I hold on many things, who would not agree with the statement, you calling me a gentleman.
Okay.
Yeah, you know damn right well.
What would you want me to call you, Roger?
Anything but late for dinner. Gee, did anybody know that was coming?
Jeez. Like, I've never heard that one before. Let's do something original.
Okay. Anyway.
Or attempted humor. But yeah, no, I kind of been watching the last 3 or 4 days here. Ron's down there, Roger. And I think there's some major implications coming out of what we see going on. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk about and get your thoughts on today.
You and I have, we've seen this coming. We've made predictions. We've said that it had to reach this point. The point here is what everybody doesn't really seem to be understanding even yet is I originally said, and I will stick to this till my dying day, nobody will ever sit in the Oval Office who doesn't already owe their soul to the devil on some level. That includes Mr. Trump, okay? The money above Mr. Trump makes his $3 to $3.5 billion look like chicken scratch, all right? He is not one of the biggest players on the block. So he still takes orders. I don't give a damn what anybody says, or he would never be sitting in the Oval Office, or he wouldn't have been there for very long. We knew this stuff was coming. We knew that once the report came in from Mueller, basically showing that there wasn't much going on as to all of the hype. And now, all of a sudden, we've got a lot of officials that have explaining to do. And we have other politicians who are grasping at the chance to, I don't know, bring certain people up on charges or to at least implicate the fact that they should be brought up on charges. Barry, you and I have been going through this for 6 years. I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to make a big prediction here, all right? As much splash as we are seeing, there's a lot of hissing going on. As much splash as we are seeing right now, as much of this that's going on, and it's getting bigger by the day, what is going on that we're not supposed to be seeing?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it, Roger?
What there's a whole hell of a lot of theatrics going on
there. Boy, are there ever, and that's what kind of has got my attention, is what is the ploy? What is the end game of what we see coming? We are talking about major players possibly being indicted here in the next week or 10 days. And that's what that's going to do to America right now, the state of chaos that's going to create, Roger. It's a big question I got right now, and where's it all going?
Well, I just got done saying...
I don't want to get too deep in this, but I'm looking at this from the outside, and I always believe there's a plan.
Okay, let me tell you something. The shallowest you could get on this is still a hole so deep you can't see daylight. None of this is fun. I just got done saying that what are we missing? What are we not seeing? What are all these theatrics for? Can Toto do us a favor and pull that curtain back just a little bit and reveal the wizard? I'm telling you right now that if you take a look across the globe, what you are seeing is massive devaluation. What you are seeing is the beginnings of what could be the biggest economic crisis in several centuries on this planet. What you are seeing is all of a sudden there is critical news flying all over the place, and I believe we're seeing smoke screens going up everywhere. The elites, those people up there who control the ebb and flow of capital across this planet, the people who literally own the central banks, these people are coming under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. They don't like it.
All hell is breaking loose. So a lot of what we're talking about, you and I, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. It's intended to distract us from what is going on globally, because we're not talking about a U.S. recession here. We're talking about a global depression here, and one that will make the depression of the 20s look like, I don't know, a practice march.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you, Roger. The guys that hold the money hold the power, and they can bring nations to their knees with the flick of a switch.
It doesn't have to happen. You take a look. Anybody Google what I'm about to say. Look, Google gold returns as money. Google it, just that phrase, and you will come up with more articles than you could shake a stick at. What is happening right now, and what actually may be the saving grace for this country, is that fiat currencies, people are losing faith in them, at a very, very high speed. The U.S. dollar is going down the toilet. Trump actually mentioned something a while back, and I actually have mentioned this in detail several times. Great. If the United States wished to go off of the dollar tomorrow and bring back, all right, the government controlled, not private industry or private banking controlled like our Fed is, but government controlled money with no issuance of debt, with the issuance of the money, okay, if that was to happen and it was based on the resources of the United States of America, people, what you don't understand is what's under the ground in this country and why we would be probably close to, if not still the richest and most powerful nation on the planet, if we would just base our dollar on what is under the ground in this country. So what's under the ground in this country?
The biggest oil reserve in the world. You talking about that, Roger?
It's probably bigger than everything in the Middle East combined.
I know
most
that.
People do
and it's
not.
Never been and it hasn't been tapped into. Why, Roger?
Yeah. Most people don't understand it's even there. We're talking between 3 and 5 trillion barrels of
barrels
oil.
That
under the
untapped.
Southern Rockies. And it has never been touched.
Oh, but we got to buy oil from Saudi Arabia, Roger.
No.
He needs the help.
No. We have got to control the global oil. And in order to do that, we need to control what's already out there and run them into the ground. And when all of their oil is gone and everybody else's oil is gone, why do we know it's gone? Because we basically control these countries, not we as in you and me, but is it American elitist corporations or global corporations? And once that happens, then what do you have? Okay. Again, everything is centralized on the U.S. If you don't think this isn't choreographed, why the hell else would you have that much oil sitting under the ground? Everybody knows it's there or should know it's there. If I know, God, give me a break.
Even I know.
Yeah. So yeah. Then now also consider the iron ore. Also consider the coal. Also consider, and I could go on and on, the ability to grow crops in this country isn't exceeded by very many nations on this planet. Okay, we have one of the most fertile nations on the planet, and we produce a lot of the global food. Actually, even California produces 60% of the food, the fresh food that we eat in this country every year. All of these things put together could give us a dollar that is valued so solidly that it would never be questioned. This, my friends, is the only thing that would pull us out of a fiat currency absolute slaughter, with the exception of a communist global government stepping in, reaching their hand out and saying, look, you'll have a place to live, you'll have medical coverage, you'll have a job. Your kids can go to school, and here's the rules. Sign on the dotted line. Welcome to the new world order.
Yeah, just put this little chip in your wrist. Everything's fine.
Just a little chip in your wrist, yep. So anyway, I just spit out a lot. I want to hear what you have to say, because I don't think you're going to disagree with me.
I don't disagree with anything you just said, Roger, that most people, a lot of people aren't even aware of the size of the oil reserves in the United States of America. And if they did, they'd probably put up the same question that I just said. Why are we depending on offshore sources for oil when we have the biggest resources in the world? And why aren't we tapping into it? Well, it doesn't play into the agenda. You know that, and I know that. But it can be changed, Roger. You know that. And you're right about currencies right now. I've been reading articles. I actually read one of your articles that you posted on the European economy. And I've read an article just recently by Gerald Celenti. I read an article by him about 3 days ago, I think I read it, about exactly what's happening in the rest of the world. And we're not really seeing it in North America or Canada, the United States yet, but it's coming.
It's coming, but it can be controlled and minimized. Anybody who doesn't think we're not going to get hit like a ton of bricks, you're an idiot. Okay, we are. The point here is, do you stockpile food and ammunition, and anytime somebody crosses in front of your house, you cock your gun? I'm not joking. Or do we see about a 2-week crisis, after which the government steps in? Here we go, Barry, declares martial law. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Ensures the continuance of all services. Okay. And converts the U.S. monetary system from a fiat system to a system based on U.S. assets. And that may already be in the works by some people who, I don't know, most of you would probably guess who I'm alluding to. But I don't know that to be a fact. But if somebody's doing it, guess who would be doing it at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely in the mode for a currency reset, Roger, and everything's pointing towards it. It's going to create a lot of chaos in society. That's for sure. Understatement, but yeah, the implications of that. Holy smokes, Roger.
You're going to forgive a lot of debt, okay, because you have no choice. And the whole system has to equal out at the end. In other words, it can't be that everybody who owes anybody anything okay, is going to be taken care of. That's what I said. We're going to get hit right between the eyes. You're going to see massive business fails. But let me explain something to everybody out there, okay? There's a silver lining to everything. This country was built on local economies. This country, and I'm speaking of Canada because we're built in the same fashion, okay? It was the local communities that expanded out. It was your town butcher. It was your town barber. And now take a look. Because of the Walmarts and the Walgreens and so on and so forth, these have all gone away. What you're going to see with a major global currency reset, which is what Barry just said. So correctly, what you're going to see is massive failures of these mega businesses, because how much of their actual global assets are leveraged with debt?
Exactly.
They're going to get smacked right between the eyes. And then what are you going to see happening almost immediately? You're going to see the butcher shop open back up. You're going to see the barber shop open back up. You're going to see the garage open back up, because there's nobody there to take care of them. So they will take care of themselves. Mm.
What a paradigm. With that shift in society, that would be a Roger, I think.
There's no choice. We would have no choice.
We'd be either forced into change or die, one of the two.
And the thing of it is, human beings may not always be the most reliable, animals or species to exist, but we are always looking for ways to make things work. We are extremely intelligent when it comes to things like that. And if you consider, stop and think about this, okay? Women and children and old men walking across the entire United States, or for maybe, 2,000 miles to start a new settlement. Do you think when the Walmart goes away, we're all just going to lay down and die? You're going to see the local grocery store open up. You're going to see the local barbershop open up. And Barry, I hate like hell to repeat it, but this is what is going to happen. And for anybody out there listening to me, I'm not pushing the panic button. Will we live through this? Yes, we will. Will it be another major hiccup? Yes, it will. Can it be a whole lot worse than what I'm saying? It could turn out very bad for all of us. But I'm hoping for the best, and I'm hoping we've got the right people in Washington to make that happen. Because if we don't, you will see revolution in the streets, and there is no and, if, or but about that.
Yeah, it's funny, when people are subjected to a state of chaos, what happens to the human brain, Roger? You know what I'm talking about. And boy, I'll tell you, there's endorphins that are released into the brain when that state of chaos erupts. And people will do just about anything to get rid of that scream. And, of course, along comes the government with the solution. Problem, reaction, solution. We see it every day, Roger.
Yeah, choreographed in most cases.
Yeah, of course. But it still works. It works for them. They've been using it for hundreds of years, and they'll continue to use it. They give us little pinpricks here and there to see how we respond to things, to give us issues like the Boston bombing and Las Vegas shooting and Jade Helm and all these other things that they've kind of prodded us and see how we're going to respond to issues. And they know what's going to go on, and they plan for it. And martial law is kind of a really scary thing, isn't it, Roger? When you think of the power all of a sudden the government has, and what's to stop that government from flipping on the people?
I can tell you right now that martial law in the United States would be extremely different than martial law in any other country on this planet. Now, I got to qualify that. Martial law in the United States will be nothing like martial law in China or Russia, and I could go on and on. Why do I say that? Because the largest, and if it could be qualified as such, and it can militia-wise, the largest armed entity on the planet is the American public, with between 300 and 500 million guns in private hands. We outweigh the military that can be brought in under martial law into our towns, into our cities, we outweigh them by magnitudes. They wouldn't stand a snowball's chance in hell against the American public unless they got really dirty, which I don't think they have intentions of doing, especially if it's Trump controlling it. And again, I could be wrong, but we'll see. My point here is that the military will take the place of the police, or will enhance the police to ensure that the communities continue in a, I don't know, peaceful fashion, so on and so forth.
Question, Roger. Do you believe the directed energy weapons now are at a point where they can pinpoint you from space with a satellite and hit you with a frequency? Do you believe that technology has gotten to that point?
I believe.
That's a loaded question. That's a loaded question, but it's one I wanted to ask you today.
I'll tell you what I think. I do believe that is possible. If I can take a satellite shot, okay, on Google Earth, and I can tweak it all the way down to where I can read the house address, the numbers on the house. All right. Then telling me that I can't focus a high energy beam, even though you have a lot of scattering through the atmosphere, it just takes more power to do it. Okay. If I can see that fine a detail, I can hit that fine a detail.
And factor into the equation, Roger, you being a man that was involved in intelligence at one point in the U.S. government, we know
and for technology, a fact. And technology.
And that being said, we know for a fact that what we actually know about technology is years behind what they actually possess.
At least
so
a decade.
So now we project ourselves down the road a decade in advancement in directed energy weapons, and exactly what would they have at their disposal to nullify the firearm, Roger? That's a question I bring that up a lot, because I believe, Roger, that at the time when the word go is given, whatever that turns out to be, I believe they have technology that could null and void firearms. And
I want your response on that, but that's my thought. You've got to have somebody up there pretty damn busy, because you can't see somebody through a house, obviously, okay, through a roof. You've got to have somebody awful damn busy, okay, doing nothing but tracking, I don't know how many hundreds of millions across the planet, or, you know, how many, and trying to bump each and every one of them off. I don't think we're going to see that. What we are going to see is, if this is the case, a select few of the movers and shakers, those who have the ability, not so much leaders, because in a lot of cases, leaders are puppets. Okay.
Wrong word.
Yeah.
I'll rephrase that. Poop disturbers like you and me.
What you do is you take out those who have the ability to influence a shift in direction, or to influence an amplification of a message, or to influence the negation of a message. These are the people you wish to remove. And that may be, I don't know, a lowly 15 or 20,000 versus 500 or 600 million.
Yeah.
So again, again, where are we sitting on all this? I'm going to freak you out, because what I'm going to tell you, most people won't believe what I'm about to tell you, okay? Do I believe that the United States, after the race to space, right, and all the money that was spent going into space and getting to the moon?
I think we lost his mic, Roger, again. I think he scratches his ear and loses it.
Is so far beyond what you and I would consider. Hello?
I think we lost his mic.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Both.
Okay. Barry, can you hear me?
He was there a second ago. Now he's gone again.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think they're a little upset at what I'm saying?
Right now, he's probably beating his microphone and computer with a hammer.
Can you send him a message? No?
You can send him one. He's in the same chat. I think he hears us, but I'm not sure.
I'm at my computer. Okay. Are we on air?
Yes, we are.
I love it. So, I wasn't talking about
much, Barry.
Was I,
Barry? Barry.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm much apologized, Roger. I'm dealing with a bad microphone here right now, and I'm going to do something about it after the show's over. Promise.
Oh, no, it's not. It had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with what I was talking about. They don't want to hear me talking. All right, okay, anyway.
I'm going to try not to move, okay?
So now that the comedy is over, okay, we have reached a point, we really have, okay, where I can tell you that the militarization of space is so far beyond and technology. Anything we are being told, even further than what I told you, the difference between what DARPA has and what we actually know exists, which is at least a decade, in some cases 20 years, two decades or a full generation. I do believe that our abilities to move around in space and our abilities to bear weapons on this planet is far beyond what we're being told, because nobody is going to convince me that in 10 years we went from dragging our knuckles on the ground to landing a man on the moon, and then after 10 years of that, we decided we just didn't want to play anymore. Bullshit!
Yeah, you know, that's the point that I was really making, Roger, is that technology. Am I back?
Oh, yes, man. You are. Yes, I can
sometimes
hear you.
I don't know if you're hearing me or not.
But I can.
Then we should factor in the equation nanotechnology and how far ahead of what we actually know as what they have, Roger. And then we factor in all the chemicals they're adding into our body to work with nanotechnology that could be affected by, oh, let's say 5G. Huh?
Okay,
this
hold on.
This scares me.
Hold on, because you just brought up something that most people are not aware of, and this is maybe one of the biggest threats, especially to us, to North America, okay? And that is all of the aluminum that is in our brains. And I'm dead serious, okay? And now you bring in the high energy, high frequency of 5G. What happens if you put a piece of metal in a microwave, Barry?
You get a bit of a reaction, Roger. I don't recommend you do it.
It heats up very quickly and very hot. Now, how many people out there would feel I was exaggerating if I told you all of our brains are full of aluminum nanoparticles? Let me qualify that by explaining to you why I say things like that, because, again, I wouldn't dare – I mean, I'm challenging you to prove me wrong. I would dare you to. Why do I say there's that much aluminum in our brains, and when they're going to be beaming 5G from all around the planet at us, if you don't think that aluminum isn't going to react and we're not going to have negative reactions to this on a massive scale? The last time – and Barry, I think I mentioned this on your show – the last couple of scientists that I knew delving into this did a biopsy, they cut slices from a brain from a person who died with Alzheimer's.
Yep.
They did cross sections, and when they put them under a microscope, guess what they found a hell of a lot of? Mm-hmm. Aluminum.
Imagine that.
Let me explain to you. If we have that much aluminum in our brains and it's coming down from the sky because it's in the geoengineering chemicals, it's used to reflect sunlight, nano-sized particles of aluminum by the metric ton, which means it's in your soil and it's nano-sized particles, which means that whatever grows is sucking it up into the plant and you are consuming it. How do I know this? Monsanto, GMO company, one of the biggest on the planet, if not the biggest. All right. What did they do? They applied for and got a patent for growing aluminum resistant crops. Let me explain this to you. Aluminum resistant crops are absolutely unnecessary because aluminum doesn't exist in the soil in the state that we're describing. So why do they need it? The only reason they could possibly need that is because of all of the aluminum raining down from the sky from the massive geoengineering. Mm. I could go on and on and on and on.
I know. It's insanity, Roger. It really is.
We are being, this genocide going on. Vaccines, absolutely known that they are using them as a mechanism to sterilize. How do I know this? I interviewed a doctor from South America. I interviewed this guy, okay? He told me flat out that in their research, they found that the vaccines the WHO was bringing in were spiked with the HCG hormone. What does that do? It makes women sterile. How many women did they give it to? 10 million.
Look at the fertility rates in the United States of America, Roger. Look what they've plummeted to in the last 3-4 years.
Well,
it's not a coincidence.
No. The fertility rates in 2014, which, again, I've mentioned on this show, was the last year I could get numbers I trusted, was a 314,000 birth deficit, which means there were 314,000 less births in 2014 than were expected due to the trend. That's 314,000. That was 5 years ago. I would guarantee you, not guessing, just by the acceleration in that trend, the increase in vaccines, the increase in GMOs, the increase in drugs, I could go on, that birth deficit now exceeds half a billion. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind, none.
Wow.
Here's something that will make you chuckle, okay? If in 10 to 15 years, closer to 10, but it may take as long as 15 years, this trend has not been reversed, the only people having babies in this country will be the illegals that came across the border.
Imagine
that's not that. A joke. That's not Imagine a
that.
Joke.
That couldn't be by design, could it, Roger? Ever? You conspiracy, not you, man.
Yeah, I know. Except that I'm the guy who says I don't challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you to prove me wrong. You see, by doing that, even if I'm proved wrong, we both win. I don't mind being proved wrong. If you can teach me something, please do it. But if you can't prove me wrong and you really tried, imagine how much you learned and how much more you understand about what I said. So there's no loser here. There's no loser here.
So we got a monumental task on our hands, Roger, of waking the people up to what's going on, how we can change it.
I know.
You look at the state of the human mind, man. When they put out that movie Zombie Apocalypse there years ago, everybody laughed. Well, this is great entertainment. But you know how close we are to that? This kind of gene technology, Roger, I don't have the brain to understand it all. But I will tell you. The only thing I'll tell you is that frequencies are a very, very powerful weapon. Think that they can't change your state of your mind with frequencies, you have your head in the sand. And then we look at 5G and we look at all the other things that possibly support it. You know, everything we see, Roger, people got to understand that everything we see is designed to work together. It might not appear like it on the surface, but it's part of a puzzle. And the puzzle piece doesn't look like anything by itself, but when you start putting with a few other pieces, you start to see the picture. Everything that's happened in the last 30, 40 years has been, I believe, been correlated to bring us to this particular point. Now we have the rollout of 5G, and all hell's going to break loose, man. We're going to be living in a microwave. Isn't that great? I won't have to use a microwave anymore.
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you on the 40 to 50 year thing at all. I believe this has been going on for a minimum of 250 years.
Or rephrase it then. It's been really ramped up in the last.
Oh, God, yes. Because technology has been made available.
This has been going on for hundreds of years. But yeah. We really ramped it up with the introduction of new technologies and weapons.
Absolutely.
And music.
Okay. Absolutely. No, you're right.
Yeah. Well, hey, I was right for a change. Wow.
Barry, you're never wrong. Okay, you constantly tell everybody that you don't think you know as much as I do, and that's absolutely wrong because there are things you know. We could talk mushrooms. There are some other things you know. I mean, we could talk a lot of things that I haven't got a clue, and you've got some serious knowledge. Look, you're Nanook of the North. I live in the heartland of the United States of America. The worlds are two totally different places. One of the reasons why I've never failed to come on your show unless, I don't know, wrong, somebody was dying or something, is because you are somebody I can show respect for.
Let's talk about the flooding that's the Midwest is experiencing. Roger, now what state are you in?
You got a Bible?
I have one. Yes, I do.
Okay, biblical proportions. Yeah, the flooding, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in lost crops. And usually you've got farmers beating the doors down of the government saying, you need to do this for me, you need to do this for me. These farmers have basically thrown their hands up and said, there's absolutely nothing the government can do about this.
Absolutely. You're looking at one of the biggest disasters in American history, and Americans aren't grabbing it yet, Robert. Roger.
Well, they are. They are. And it's something that will pass, okay? There'll be a little bit less variety in the supermarket in this country, and it'll cost a little bit more maybe for a year or two. But this is recoverable. It's the scenario itself, okay? When you take a look at this and you tell me this is one of the biggest disasters, and what it's doing is it's starting to focus attention. It's just starting. Eventually, it will focus a large amount of attention. Geoengineering has the ability to steer moisture and force it to drop in a specific location. They've been doing that for at least 50 years. And now what we have is flooding, of concentrated flooding in the frickin' breadbasket of the United States, concentrated there at biblical levels like we've never seen before. And all of a sudden, we've got a major crisis. Barry, I don't believe it. And you could call anybody out there, you could call me a conspiracy nut, whatever you want. We are looking at major, maybe even catastrophic monetary changes going on globally. We are looking at a power shift from west to east that may force us into World War III. We are looking at, okay, the possibility of a a fungus, okay, that's going around the planet right now that's absolutely deadly, and there's no way to protect from it. All of these things are happening now, all right? Stop and look at what's going on. Where should you be looking? What should you be looking at? What is the curtain, and what is actually behind the curtain? This is what Barry and I try to tell you every time we come on a show like this.
Yeah, the implications, the reports I've read, Roger, about the flooding in the Midwest there, is the implications are for major, major crop productions this year. The soil is basically finished for this year, and they've lost, I forget how many millions of bushels of soy and stored food. It's all been destroyed.
Oh, it's well over $500 million worth of crops.
Yeah.
That's a lot. If you count, that's the cost of the field. Now, if you were to count the actual product finished and in the stores, you could be looking at $8 to $10 billion.
And then the crop reduction, the crop losses they're going to experience this year. Let's factor that into the equation. We have a very, very. It's going to recover, of course. But then I've done a lot of looking into crop reduction worldwide, Roger, and the increase in flooding activities is just monumental.
Is it really? It's all coincidence. It's all coincidence.
Wherever it's coming from, Roger, it is ramping up, and we're seeing more flooding events than we've seen. And I've looked at the numbers, and I really looked at them hard, and the incidences of flooding and the degree of flooding is really, really changing.
Okay, so you're telling me that a lot of crops are not going to grow because of what is happening, and I believe you, and I see the same thing, so I agree with you. Okay, let me ask you a question a little bit off that track, just a tiny bit, all right? If you had to name two things that were the reasons for war, what would they be? And if you don't want to say anything, just let me know.
Water and food.
What's that?
Water and food.
Well, food is definitely one of them. Okay, so if you take a look around you and you're telling me that these areas are flooded, they can't grow crops, these areas are being flooded, they can't grow crops, and what we are going to see is pockets of hunger cropping up across the planet. So that's the first thing. What's the second thing? The second thing is greed, whether you call them elites. I don't give a damn. The Rockefellers, You know, it doesn't really matter what you call them, but those are the two things, hunger and greed. Greed doesn't require anything you need. It's something you want. And hunger is you've got a family to feed and you'll do it at any cost.
Yes, you
and
will.
And Barry, if you look around, what you are seeing is the second one, the hunger, being manipulated by the first one, the greed.
Mm. Interesting thoughts, Roger, for sure. I look at crop productions worldwide, and the numbers are mind-boggling. We've looked at projections 7 years down the road from multiple countries, and they're talking 40-50% reduction in crops in the next 7 years. What are the implications of that? And what's going to happen to our food prices? And these people that are greedy, boy, they're going to have a nice little tool in their toolbox, aren't they?
I'm telling you, you're looking at crop reductions, but in a lot of cases, these are due to corporate interests, right? Again, we are going to hit a crisis point, and we're close to it. I'm not telling you it's next week. Gee, my name, I don't have my name on a website where we're talking about Nibiru, and 5 years ago we were going to die, 4 years ago we were going to die, 3 years ago we were going to die, 2 years ago we were going to die. Hey, we're still here. Where's Nibiru? Okay? So it's not like that. It really isn't. We have actual crisis going on here, and we're going to reach a point, like I said, where we either have that crisis or because of the failure of these big corporations, these corporate farms, these corporate ag companies, what you're going to see is the local farm starting back up. What you're going to see is the guy who wants to make sure his family gets fed doesn't go out and work in someone else's field. He goes in his backyard and he plants 5 rows of corn. And I don't know how many things of cabbage and a few things of freaking string beans. And this is what you're going to see globally. This is how humanity is going to pop back. Community-built civilization. And one by one, these communities will repair themselves or destroy themselves. And once they've done that, they will reach out to the communities around them.
So step one would be, of course, to plant industrial hemp on that piece of land that we want to put on for about 2 years to take all the toxins out of the soil.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter where you grow food at any point in the world right now. I've read reports from some leading scientists on the effects on our biosphere right now. And when they start telling me, and these are from reputable people, Roger, that our biosphere is getting to a point where it might irreparable damage to the point of collapse. I don't care where you grow food on the planet, it isn't going to grow. And if it does, it's not going to be food that you can eat.
You're absolutely right. First off, people need to understand. People think that it's all the forest and the trees that produce the oxygen we breathe on this planet. Got to tell you something. Okay. Yeah, the biggest portion of the air you breathe comes from these little microorganisms in the frickin' ocean. Now, let's talk about Fukushima. Let's talk about the swath death in the Pacific Ocean. Let's talk about the massive elimination of the organisms in the Pacific Ocean that produce oxygen for you and I to breathe.
Ah, Roger, it's just the fundamental building stones of all life on the planet. Nothing to worry about, buddy. Monsanto will come up with a solution.
We are right now, and I have written, if you go to the Liberty Beacon and put Roger Landry, GMOs in the search bar, you will find how much research I've done and articles I have written. There are over 1,000 scientists who have signed a petition from across the planet. This was done over 2 years ago, stating if there was not an immediate cessation of all GMO activity outside of sealed environments, the biosphere was either at or had already reached the point where it would collapse inevitably.
Exactly.
This was 2 years ago, and this, go to the Liberty Beacon, put in the search words, okay? This is, I think the original article was 800 scientists, and the update was 200 more had signed on. So we're talking 1,000 of the best minds across the planet are screaming about what you just said there.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very real and major issue for us, taking into light the fact that you said, Roger, plankton produces between 50 and 60% of the oxygen we breathe on this planet. And since 1970, I've read four or five different reports, I believe even one that you wrote, that oxygen or plankton depletion has reached levels of up to 50 to 60% of the plankton are now gone. So if we alleviate 50% of the plankton, then we've lost 30% of our oxygen production on the planet. Keep cutting down the trees, Roger. And what are we doing? We're going to all be suffering from oxygen deprivation, and we see it in crop production now.
We can see it more than that. I'm just touching the surface.
Yep. Just touching the surface. Go ahead.
If you also consider the Great Barrier Reef, which at one point was probably the most beautiful thing on this planet, with the life that was on it, it was stunning. And yes, now a big chunk of it is dead.
Yes, it is.
Literally.
Yeah, 50% completely dead now, Roger.
If you consider that this is an ecosystem buffered by the ocean itself and it couldn't maintain its ability to thrive, stop and think about what's happening with the geoengineering. Stop and think about what's happening with the GMOs. And anybody that tells me, oh, how the hell is a plant going to destroy the biosphere? Let me explain that to you. This little bee, minding its own business, goes to a GMO, sets his little hiney down, grabs together a little bit of that crap, goes to, the next field over, GMO corn, and he pollinizes it, okay? And this goes on and on and on. Let me scare you just a little bit more. Not only is this happening, and scientists are freaking out, okay, but if I have a field and 200 feet away someone else's field starts and I'm growing non-GMO corn, natural corn, and they're growing GMO corn, if my field gets pollinated from their field, which how the hell are you going to stop it, then I have to give up my crop or go to jail because I don't have a license for that patented corn.
I know, I read that report, Roger. Absolute insanity. And why has Europe, why has most of Europe outlawed GMOs and America still going along with this program? What's wrong with Americans? Can't they read a newspaper? Can't they read the writing on the wall?
Has nothing to do with it, okay?
I know.
America is the most propagandized and the most ignorant society on the planet when it comes to our own governance, all right? It's not that we can't read. It's that America is under the bullseye for all of this. Look, we have 5% of the global population, barely, okay? We take 60% of all of the psychotropic and psychiatric drugs on the planet. We are the most vaccinated, the most GMO'd, the most geoengineered, the most fluoridated. Every one of these things you and I discuss as our components in the ruination of humanity, the United States is in the bullseye and is getting the highest level of all of these. Go ahead. Anybody out there, prove me wrong. Most vaccinated country, America. Sickest, most chronically ill country, America. Most fluoridated, America. Okay, most drugged, I just gave you that stat. That ought to scare the hell out of you. And you'd be even more scared if you knew how many of those were kids and it was done against their parents' wishes. Otherwise, they lose their kids. DCYF will come and take them away. So anyway, we're looking, Barry, at a society that has everything against it. Everybody says it's such a great place to live. And when I was born, it was. When I was a kid, it was. Today, we are under the gun. Why is America under the gun? Because we're freaking cowboys. And if we don't like something, we get like me. We get mousy. We stand up and say, look, ain't going to have none of this shit. So if the New World Order or those who wish to bring it in, wish to bring it in with the minimum amount of friction, America must first be brought to her knees. Otherwise, we may very well be responsible for leading a global revolt against them. Barry, what did I just say? Trump comes into office. All of a sudden, we're seeing pushback in England. We're seeing pushback in France. We're seeing pushback, and I could go on and on and on. The biggest fear of the elitist and the reason why they were trying so freaking hard to bring America to its knees is because of exactly what you're seeing right now. People are waking up at lightning speed across this planet, and the elites are freaking out.
Boy, are they ever, Roger. I love to see them squirm.
So what did I get wrong there, Barry?
Well, I agree with everything you just said, Roger. I mean, there isn't too much that we talk about that we don't agree on. Okay? Over the years of the conversations I've had with you, I've vetted your information, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy having you on my shows, is because when you do talk, I know it's coming from a reputable source. So we're down to the last 8 minutes or 9 minutes of the show. Duke Willis wanted to come in. He had a couple questions for you. I don't know if we still have time to pull him in for a couple minutes, Steve, but he did want to say hi to you, Roger.
Sure.
Can you maybe try and pull him in there, Steve, Duke Willis on Skype, and we'll see if you can get in for a minute. I'll let him have a chat with you for a second. But there's so many things that we didn't even touch on today, Roger, that like I said, a lot of times when I'm looking at stuff, I kind of got to restrict how much I look at because it really boggles my mind. My brain is very small, so I can't put too much in there. It just kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Okay, I'm not going to listen to that. That's just crap. Okay?
But I'm being truthful. There's just too much stuff going on, buddy, to keep up with all of it.
No, you said my brain is so small. Okay, not true. Okay, all right. So anyway, the rest of it, yeah, I can swallow the rest of it. Good pill.
Well, you know, I'm not putting myself down, Roger, but some people have an incredible ability to retain information, and I'm just not one of those guys. I kind of look at everything with common sense. I try and make common sense out of stuff I see going on, and I can't find any. And all I'm asking for the world is to try and get a little bit of common sense. And please, the men out there in society, please, grow a set of testicles, because of every foreign history, we needed people to stand up, Roger. It's now. We're in a fight for our lives right now, and I honestly believe that. We can't lose that. We got our children to come. And we're in a big fight, Roger. How far it's going to go, the magnitude of it, probably none of us will ever agree, but we're in for a fight.
If you stop and consider that all of this was happening pretty much along the same lines, but without the technology, in the 1750s and the 1760s in the U.S. colonies. All of this was going on, okay? And it was, we've had enough over and over again. And people had community meetings and they discussed it. That's their equivalent of the internet today. And they shared their thoughts and they shared their passions and they shared what pissed them off, all right? 17% of the colonies, 17% were all that involved themselves in the freeing of the 13 original colonies from British rule. 17%. Barry, it's not going to take 70, 80, 90%. It's not even going to take 25%. But between 20 and 25% of this nation steps up and the rest just stay the hell out of the way, then this country can be put right back where it's supposed to be. Do I recommend that? No. But if it reaches that point, let's go all the way back to how we started this show. Martial law in this country will not be like any other country on the planet. There are more guns in American civilian hands than in any military in the history of this planet.
Well, I think I'm going to move to America.
You can come
because Trudeau
live with me.
Trudeau's about to take our handguns away, man.
You
the
can
new
come
legislation.
Live with me. Yeah, I know. Believe me. What about the measles thing? Now they're telling you in New York, if you don't get a freaking shot, you can't leave your house. You can't go out into – oh, wait. It gets better, okay? I'm listening to these people that get huge salaries, and people trust them. They elect them. If these people are going to help me. They're our leaders. And this guy stands up there and says, if your kid hasn't had a shot – then you can't go into the community where all the other kids have had a shot because you're dangerous. Okay, you're a freaking idiot.
Are you saluting him when he says that?
Hold on. If every other kid has had a shot and your kid hasn't, who is your kid a danger to?
Yeah.
Nobody.
You should worry about it.
But yet your kid is isolated into their house. This is medical martial law. It's unconstitutional, and it's against the New York State Constitution. as well.
I don't think any of them have ever read it, Roger. I don't think any of them have ever read it. No, I know. I know. And it's just another step towards total fascism we see unraveling in our society right now. We're not getting close to a fascist state. We are in a fascist state. Wake up.
No, if I have to have a vaccination, then you, if it's mandatory that every vaccine the state says you have to have, why can't they just call one of them whatever they want to call it, and all it really is a way to deliver markers or tags into your body?
Exactly. The eugenics program that's in...
Would you ever know it? No.
No. It's all part of the eugenics program, Roger, and that's too deep a rabbit hole for us to get into right now. But it all comes back to that program.
I did tell you, and I'd like to pretty much finish it off with this because this is a very scary thing to say, but it is the truth. If things continue the way they are for less than another generation, less than another 20 years, some saying 15, some say as few as 10, the only people having babies in America will be the illegals who came across the border. That's where we stand right now. And if that's not the scariest thing you heard on this show tonight, you obviously... All right, Barry, I'm not going to insult anybody anymore.
Yeah, no, I know what you want to say, Roger.
And
unfortunately, it is a family show, so we have to restrict our language.
No. I was going to call him an idiot.
That's being very, 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 very easy on Roger. I say you're a spineless individual. You see this stuff coming. You know what's coming for your children, and you're not doing anything about it. Well, curse you, because your children are going to do that. And the fact that you are what your legacy is, what you leave behind. And right now, it's in our face, buddy.
Yep. And
what else is it going to take?
People that. I do too.
I'm at a point now, Roger, in my community. I'm calling people out. I'm not Mr. Nice Guy anymore. I'm getting in your face. Because if you don't have the testicles to stand up against what's going on, get out of my way. Because there is people that are, Roger. And those are the people that I'm communicating with, buddy. People like you and other people that I'm involved with. We're all here because our hearts are broken, buddy. Yep.
And this was a way for me to blow off a little bit of steam, as usual.
Always love it, buddy. Always. Hey, we're down to the last 2 minutes, Roger. Quickly plug your sites, and we'll have to shut out the show. Always, always a pleasure having you on, sir.
It is. And the main website, the flagship, is thelibertybeacon.com. The TV network is tlvtv.com. And we have a bunch of other sites. But again, if you go to the Liberty Beacon or TLBTV, you should have a connection to the rest of them. It's not about you becoming a fan of TLB. It's about you finding a place where you can get the answers without any side effects.
Good. Well, people, I've been involved with Roger for years, and I recommend you go have a look at his websites and some of the stuff that he writes about. Really good information. And thanks again, Roger, for joining me. And I will have you back here in the very near future. I really enjoy doing shows with you. And thanks for joining today, guys. Been a great show. I want to thank Steve Roberts for producing my show. I want to thank People's Internet Radio and Shake and Wake Radio for carrying my shows. Great having you in. And I will be back. I won't be back next week, actually. Steve has informed me that it's Easter Sunday. And there won't be a show next Sunday. But the following week, I'm back. I got Vinny Eastwood coming in and somebody else really cool lined up. So I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining today, and God bless you all, and have a great week. Bye for now.